Hey everybody, welcome into this week's edition of the Kentucky Wrestle Report. I'm Corey Guns. I'm really looking forward to this week's edition of the show because Austin Kellerman from the Pro Wrestling Sheet will be joining me. He'll be making his return to the show for the second time and joining me for our Around Ringside segment to talk about a lot of the news and happenings in the world of wrestling this week. Austin is an award-winning TV journalist and also a contributor for the ProWrestlingSheet.com. Always look forward to our conversations, and I think it'll be another good one here today. But before we go around ringside, let's take you to the event center and let you know about some of the upcoming independent events going on this week and next week in the state of Kentucky. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, let's start with this Sunday, September 2nd, Paris, Kentucky, Primetime Wrestling, PTW, at the PTW Sportatorium presents their next DVD taping and also their first ever internet pay-per-view, the Annie Kelly Memorial Show. It's going down again this Sunday, September 2nd in Paris, Kentucky. They've got a stacked card for you guys down at PTW. They've got a PTW Heavyweight Championship match between Champion Lord Crew and Sexy Stan Sierra. They've got a triple threat TLC match for the Elite Championship between Austin Tyler Morris, Jay Donaldson, and Champion Brandon Taggart. They've got a War Games match. War Games, eight guys inside of a cage, War Games match. You've also got Legendary Larry D, along with Max Sledd, Everything Legendary, defending their tag team titles against Chris Majors and Titan. You've got a 30-minute Iron Man match between Jordan Cage and Lexus Montez. It's a stacked card for PTW, and I'll take it from me, take my word for it, it will be worth your money, it'll be worth your time to go and see their show this Sunday again, September 2nd, at the PTW Sportatorium in Paris, Kentucky. Doors open at 6:30 for the main show. But you can also get some VIP packages, first and second row seats, and also get you in the doors early for some preliminary matches at 5:30. Also some meet and greets with the wrestlers. So check out PTW's Facebook page or their Twitter to find out more details about that. Another big show coming up next Saturday, September 8th, Universal Championship Wrestling, UCW. On Saturday, September 8th, presents their tribute Fit for a King and at the Owensboro Sports Center in Owensboro, Kentucky. This show is stacked with appearances by some of the biggest legends in wrestling. You've got meet and greets with Jerry the King Lawler, as well as Ken Shamrock and also Jillian Hall from WWE fame. You've also got Crazy Steve from Impact Wrestling making an appearance. Also in the main event, for the UCW Heavyweight Championship, Buff Bagwell competes against Iron Man Rob Conway, with the winner walking out as the UCW Heavyweight Champion. So again, a big show put on by UCW coming up here next Saturday, September 8th at the Owensboro Sports Center in Owensboro, Kentucky. Also on Friday, September 7th, the WWA World Wrestling Alliance will be in Sebree Springs Park at the Sebree Fall Fest. And guess what? This show is free. They're putting on a free show at the Sebree Fall Fest there at Sebree Springs Park. You've got a main event of Teddy King versus Jordan Whitaker for the Kentucky Classic Championship, Ray Waddell against Logan Abel for the Hardcore Championship, and then also a big battle royal will be taking place that night as well. So that's the WWA on September 7th in Sebree Springs Park. Free show at the Sebree Fall Fest. Also on Saturday, September 8th, Kentucky Zone Wrestling will be at the Old Shopville Gym in Somerset, Kentucky for their event Caged Fury. And then you've also got Ohio Valley Wrestling, OVW, don't forget, is gearing up, making a run towards their 1,000th television taping every Wednesday night. They're at the Davis Arena in Louisville, Kentucky for TV tapings. And again, they are gearing up for their big grand tournament finale to crown a new OVW champion, which will conclude at their 1,000th TV taping. If you've been following me on Twitter, you've seen some of the big names that have come through the promotion that are participating in that tournament. Tommy Dreamer was there at the Kentucky State Fair last week. Billy Gunn has been a participant as well. So, as we talked about before, Al Snow, after having taken over OVW, his presence is really being felt in the way that product is being presented, not only on television, but also you've got some big name guys, obviously some of his friends and connections that are coming through and making appearances. And again, they're gearing up for their 1,000th TV taping, which is, I believe, is going to take place down at 4th Street Live in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. So they're gearing up for that. So I'll give you some more details about that once that gets closer as well. So make sure you guys are getting out and supporting Kentucky Independent Wrestling. Get to some of these shows. If you want more information, you can check out the different promotions, Facebook and Twitter pages, or just follow me at Twitter at KY Wrestle Report. And I'm always posting show advertisements and flowers and information that gets sent my way as well. So make sure you guys are getting out, check these shows out, and support Kentucky Independent Wrestling. All right, and joining me for this segment, he's back for his second go-round here on KWR. He's an award-winning journalist, and he's also a contributor for Pro Wrestling Sheet. Austin Kellerman joins me again today. Austin, how you doing?
I'm great. Glad to be back with you.
Yeah, appreciate you coming back on with us. A lot's gone on. I think it's been about 2 months since you were on with us the first time, so a lot's kind of happened in between that time that we can talk about.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, let's get started here. Our first topic I wanted to talk about were some of the big heel turns that have happened, one on Raw and one on SmackDown, just in the past couple of weeks since SummerSlam. Over on the SmackDown side, you had Becky Lynch with the big heel turn at SummerSlam itself. And then on Raw, just this past Monday, we saw Braun Strowman kind of out of nowhere seemingly turn heel on Roman Reigns and the rest of the members of the Shield. So I want to get your thoughts on both of those. I want to start on SmackDown with Becky Lynch. You know, she was a character that coming into SummerSlam, you kind of got the feeling that maybe they were going to pull the trigger on a heel turn with her whole angle with Charlotte. And that even though people kind of maybe saw it coming, it was something that a lot of the fans didn't really want. We were kind of holding out hope that they wouldn't turn her heel because she seemed to be a character that people really got behind and really liked to cheer as a baby face. So what were your thoughts first on Becky Lynch, the heel turn at SummerSlam, and then some of the promos and things they've tried to do with her on SmackDown since then that seem to just get the crowd behind her even more as opposed to turn them against her?
Yeah, what's so interesting there is with Becky Lynch, I mean, I can't think of another time recently where you've had, you know, a female competitor with the crowd so behind her. You know, when you think back to the Women's Money in the Bank match, that entire crowd was behind her. And so when you have something like that, you know, to then basically flip it on the crowd, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense on the surface. Now, with both of these turns, you know, and I guess we kind of have to wait and see what happens with Braun Strowman, but it seems as if they're being done, you know, to get their competitors over the way that WWE wants them to be over, specifically talking about Charlotte Flair and Roman Reigns. And that goes back to, you know, this thought of, you know, these are the company's people and they need to be baby faces and they need to be seen in a certain light. And so, you know, are Becky Lynch and Braun Strowman being used essentially to raise them up on a pedestal in the position the company wants to see it? You know, you really almost feel that way. You know, and I think Becky Lynch has done a good job in a heel role. But to your point, the crowd wants to cheer her. And when you want to cheer somebody, I mean, you look back to, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the day, who's acting like a traditional bad guy character. But that's what the crowd's interested in. And they like that person. And so they get behind them. So they kind of have themselves in a conundrum when it comes to putting, you know, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch in the ring in the future and how that crowd is going to react. You know, are you going to suddenly turn Charlotte into a Roman Reigns type character where she gets booed and cheered? I don't think that's what they want, but that may be what they're setting up for with some of the decisions that they've made.
Yeah, it's funny, you always hear kind of that Vince McMahon always has the sentiment that, the crowd doesn't know what it wants. I'm going to tell the crowd what they want. And then they'd make some decisions like this. And you've got guys, even on Twitter this week, Road Dogg, Jesse James is in Twitter conversations with people on Twitter trying to justify why they turned Becky Lynch heel. And so that can't be a good sign when you're trying to get someone over, as a bad guy on your show, and you're having to go on social media to try to convince people that this was a good thing or this was the right decision to turn someone heel.
Yeah, and when you have a crowd of millions of people watching on television and you're, one of your top writers is getting into it with two or three people on Twitter, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But yeah, it's certainly the company has to have its top stars, and they have to be, seen in a certain light. But trying to tell the fans, what they want, I think what worked so well back in the day with the Attitude Era is, if somebody got a good reaction, they went with it. They pushed them in a certain direction, and they let, the person do their thing and the crowd react the way that they wanted to. And I feel like lately we have too much of, here's the character we're going to present to you, and we want you to act a certain way, and we're going to try to book them in hopes that you'll act this way. And in a lot of ways, I think that way is for a, late 90s or early 2000s crowd. And as we're seeing now, that's just not the way that wrestling fans are anymore.
Yeah, it seems the more they push that direction, the more the crowd is going to rebel in the opposite way. The more they try to force you into booing Becky Lynch, the crowd sees through it, and so they think, well, that's just the more we're going to cheer. We're going to screw with the WWE's plans, and even though we know that they want us to boo this person, we're going to cheer them because we
Yeah,
like that
and it
they're.
really, yeah, I was just going to say it takes you back to WrestleMania 30, when Daniel Bryan, as they're leading up to that, WWE wants to give us a main event match of Batista against Randy Orton, which at no time really did the audience want to see Batista versus Randy Orton, especially in that period of time when Daniel Bryan's hot and the crowd's getting behind him and everywhere they go, people are chanting yes, yes, yes. And, in that moment, it took them a while, but they finally came to the realization that, okay, we have to jump on this, and we have to, put Daniel Bryan in this match. And ultimately, he had his big shining moment at WrestleMania 30. You wonder if Becky Lynch, can break through and be a character who can do something like that, and the WWE gets behind her. You certainly feel a guy like Braun Strowman with his size and the improvements we've seen him make since he's come up to the main roster. I mean, the sky is the limit for Braun Strowman. But yeah, when you're doing stuff where you're, right now you really seem to have the crowd behind him, and now you're trying to do things, to get the crowd against him. And I really don't think the crowd wants to be against Braun Strowman right now. Braun's kind of their guy right now, and I don't think the WWE should look at that as a bad thing. I think instead they're saying, well, if we got Roman here, we can't put Roman against Braun when everybody's cheering Braun. We need the Shield behind him. So let's take these other guys everyone loves and reunite them, and let's turn Braun Strowman into a bad guy. Seems like they're doing a lot of things to accommodate their idea of what they want Roman Reigns to be.
Jason, yeah, let's talk about Braun a little bit more. His turn this Monday. There were even talks when the Shield reunited that, I saw a lot of people talking about, well, aren't technically the Shield the heels in this scenario, since they came out 3-on-1, powerbombed, Braun through the table. And then we saw what happened this week. And I almost thought at the end, I was expecting Braun to, after he laid out Roman and the Shield, to then lay out Ziggler and McIntyre as well and kind of keep
Right.
that tweener thing. But then when he raised their hands, I thought, oh my gosh, they're actually, they've turned him full heel. He's aligned with the bad guys. They've actually tried to turn him heel. And the funny thing with him is that what turned him face initially was his feud with Roman Reigns when he was the
Right.
heel and all the things he was doing to Roman, started getting the crowd behind him. So here we are with the same feud. They're back in their old roles. At least one thing you can say about his heel turn, I think you can definitely say it was unexpected. And a lot of people complain that the storylines and the angles now are, you can see them coming from a mile away and there's not anything really new or fresh. So can we at least give the WWE credit here for doing something unexpected and turning a guy kind of seemingly out of nowhere, whether we may be happy about it or agree with it or not, you know, maybe at least it's something new and something that we didn't see coming.
Right. Yeah. And I think you do have to give them some props for that, because I don't care what people on Twitter said. I saw the Shield reuniting. No, you didn't. Nobody saw the Shield randomly reuniting, you know, on the Raw after SummerSlam. So you have to give them props for that. Personally, I didn't see the Demon coming out against Baron Corbin at SummerSlam. I mean, I was getting up ready to go make the frozen pizza and, you know, forget this match, who cares? And then the Demon entrance hits. And, you know, so they're doing some things to at least raise your interest and make you go, you know, maybe I do need to watch every week because they may give me something I didn't expect. So, yeah, it's just every once in a while you're going to get those misses. And, you know, this is just the beginning of the Braun Strowman story in its current form. So, you know, are we possibly trying to set up for, you know, a Strowman versus McIntyre match down the road where, you know, McIntyre and Ziggler turn on Strowman? I mean, who knows? Who knows where they'll go with it? But initially you see something like this and you kind of go, what are they thinking?
When you were on with us about 2 months ago, we talked about a report that you had actually put on Twitter that about local advertisements, even back in July, that were running for Hell in a Cell in the local market, that were advertising Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens as one of the main events. Do you think that this Strowman turn, not only the Strowman turn, but then also kind of the accompanying Kevin Owens angle we saw Monday, where he, you know, quote unquote, quit the company? Do you think that this is something that maybe was a pivot in direction that happened pretty quickly, you know, maybe even, you know, just in the last week, you know, before, you know, Raw was written this Monday, that this Braun heel turn was something that they didn't have planned months ago and was something that they just, maybe because they saw the pop that he got at SummerSlam or the pop that he got the next night on Raw when they thought he was going to cash in the briefcase, that maybe they thought, you know, okay, Roman's our new champion. We don't want to put him in a situation where, again, he's going to be booed out of the building in favor of the guy that's challenging him. So we need to make this kind of drastic pivot and turn one of our, arguably our top, you know, 1A or second biggest babyface on the brand in Braun Strowman. We need to turn him heel. So do you get the feeling that this was something that was not initially planned? It was maybe something of a panic move that maybe they were going to go with Reigns and Owens at Hell in a Cell, and then they thought, no, you know, with Braun with the briefcase, we need to turn him heel, and like you said, try to prop up Roman as the big babyface champion.
You kind of have to think so, and that's because the report you're talking about was what the arena in San Antonio sent out saying, here's what WWE is going to put on at Hell in a Cell. And if I remember right, one match they advertised was AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, which has come to fruition. We're going to see that. The other being Kevin Owens against Roman Reigns. And, you know, when you looked at SummerSlam and thought, oh, okay, if Kevin Owens wins the briefcase, they may go in this direction with him. You know, instead, Owens essentially gets squashed. He comes out on Raw and quits. But they have a storyline planned for him there. You know, we have to kind of wait and see what that is. But clearly, at one point, they thought, we're going to put Owens up against Reigns. And I think there was some sort of a pivot there where maybe they said, we need to do Strowman Reigns sooner for whatever reason. And then in that case, Owens kind of gets pushed to the side, you know. So I think the pivot may have been a little more about, you know, okay, well, what are we going to do with Owens? How are we going to change up this plan? And then, yeah, for Strowman, you know, you just hope. I mean, if you look at the way that WWE booked the Big Show for so many years, there's another guy who's a monster, right? I mean, he's no matter what, he's a top guy because of his size and because of his draw in the entertainment circles. You know, when he walks into a room, you know, kids stare and they're freaked out. The guy bounced between babyface and heel so many times throughout his career, you never knew what he was. And you just have to hope, you know, please don't do this with Braun Strowman. Now, look, it makes sense for Braun Strowman with his size to be a bad guy. You know, it's a little strange to have a gigantic babyface going up against small heels. I get that. But, you know, you want it to maybe mean a little more than what we saw this past week, where it's just kind of he teams up with two other random guys and now I'm a bad guy.
With both of these turns, And I've seen more of a sentiment with it with Becky Lynch more so than Strowman, probably because the Becky Lynch turn, you know, has had a couple weeks to kind of marinate. A lot of people saying that, you know, if you support these wrestlers, if you've wanted to see them get a push, the best thing you can do is kind of fall in line with the WWE and do what they want you to do. That, you know, if you're a fan of Becky Lynch, the best thing you can do is that when she comes out and cuts her heel promo is to boo her, because that's what the WWE wants you to do, and that's how they're going to judge her success as a top heel, is the reaction if she's getting a heel reaction from the crowd. Same thing with Braun Strowman. Do you buy into that line of thinking, or as you kind of said earlier, do you think that we're in this era where the crowd's kind of rebelling against what they're seeing is actually going to cause a change in what the WWE is doing? Or do you think that, hey, if you're fans of these guys, you need to do what the WWE sees as success for them, which is to fall in line with the heel or babyface side of things of where they've put them, you know, on the roster?
Yeah, you know, my sentiment in modern times and in what we're dealing with now in terms of what wrestling is and the way fans react is, if you're a fan of somebody, be loud. You know, if you like them and you want to like them, cheer them. If there's somebody you like and they're a bad guy and you feel like booing them, that's fine. Maybe you want to cheer them too. But just be loud. Make sure they get a reaction. I mean, I think John Cena is kind of the ultimate success story of this model where, you know, sometimes he'll walk out and the guy gets booed out of the building, but it's the loudest reaction of the night. He sells the most merchandise. He's the top guy because of it. So, you know, as long as the noise is being made when they come out, as long as they're getting a reaction, to me, you know, that's ultimately what they'll be judged on. You know, if they come out and you're going to sit on your hands, that's a problem. You know, so if it's somebody that you like, you don't like what WWE is doing with them, you know, just be loud. You know, give them some sort of a reaction, and, you know, cream rises to the top, and in time, I mean, Becky Lynch, you know, that's another one with just tons of potential. You can see and feel her passion when she goes out there. You know, so her time will come. And I think WWE is trying to give her that time. They just thought the best way to do it was a heel turn. And maybe there's a big chunk of the fans who don't agree.
All right, let's move on to topic number two. Just yesterday, it was confirmed that the WWE will be making a return trip to Saudi Arabia. You know, earlier this year, they had the greatest Royal Rumble event there. And in early November, I think November 2nd is the date that was confirmed yesterday, they'll be going back and doing another super show over in Saudi Arabia. The interesting thing with that is that this event will take place 5 days after the all-women's pay-per-view Evolution. So on October 28th, the WWE is going to have its first ever all-women's pay-per-view, which has been getting huge pub and a push on TV lately. If you've been watching, you know, there's always large amounts of mentioning that event and pushing that event. But then 5 days later, they're going to put on a show in a country who won't even allow the females to set foot on their soil. Now, I've been, if you've listened to the show and you've followed some of my articles on Chairshot, you know, I've made it clear that I think the Evolution pay-per-view is a PR stunt from the beginning. I don't think the WWE, if we were in the old pay-per-view system where they were really depending on this event to draw them huge revenue, it would never get off the ground. I think the advent of the network allows them that cushion that they can put it on the network. It's not really going to do any harm to them financially, no matter what the numbers may be on the network for how many people watch it that night or whatever. So I think it's a lot more of a PR move in today's society and where we are, you know, socially and in social media, as opposed to something that they truly believe in. And then now looking at 5 days after that event, they're going to go over to Saudi Arabia where their female wrestlers will not even be allowed to perform. How can anyone justify this, or how can it be ignored? Some, in my opinion, the hypocrisy of these two things and the fact that they're 5 days apart. They're not even, you know, there's not even enough time to kind of, you know, let the cake bake a little bit. You know, they're doing the women's pay-per-view and then 5 days later, they're heading back over to Saudi Arabia and they won't even be able to, you know, put their female wrestlers on the plane to make the trip. What were your thoughts on all this?
definitely feels a little bit dirty, you know, and they've had so many bad show names lately with the Greatest Royal Rumble and the Super Showdown. I feel like they can call the Saudi Arabia show Not Much Evolution, you know, since it's just 5 days after Evolution, because, you know, okay, so at the end of October, we're going to do an all-women show. We'll celebrate that. We'll give them some time off, and then we'll go over to Saudi Arabia with the guys and do a show there. But what is the evolution of dividing your roster to, you know, be male and female, and only those sides are represented on these specific shows? I get why they're doing an all-women show. You know, it makes sense because, as you've mentioned, from a PR standpoint, that's a big part of what they're trying to do right now. And it makes sense with Ronda Rousey. It makes sense with a larger women's roster that's doing a great job. They want to do that. But yeah, 5 days later to go to Saudi Arabia, where, you know, women have very limited rights. And to your point, I mean, they can't even be shown on the big screen during a show, let alone be in the arena to perform. Yeah, it just feels strange. It just feels a little bit dirty. And, you know, that's something that's going to pick up national press, just the timing of that. You know, we can talk about it in wrestling circles, but you're going to get some, you know, some mainstream outlets who pick up on that same thing and write about it. And ultimately, that's going to impact PR for Evolution. If you have an event just 5 days after that where women can't participate. So to me, the timing doesn't make sense. I would imagine, you know, just being a few days after that, it's not going to be a WWE Network streamed event. It's not going to be a highly promoted event. This would be a smaller event where they just go over there, they take their money, they do their show, and they come on back. Because it, you know, certainly if you're 5 days apart promoting two big events, you know, that are divided up the way we've talked about it, you know, there's not enough promotional space on their programming to make that happen and to make that have any sense at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, because you work, you know, not only do you work, you know, and talk about wrestling, but I mean, your field really is the TV news field.
Right.
You know, so I was going to ask you, you know, with this, do you think that this will get, especially with the short, you know, time span between the two events, do you feel like it'll get enough attention, you know, from the mainstream media that they may end up regretting at least doing it in such a short time frame? Because I feel like the first event in Saudi Arabia, the whole, you know, women not being allowed to compete really didn't get a lot of attention, or, you know, maybe not necessarily as much as attention as it should, but I didn't feel like that there was right. A whole lot of backlash outside of wrestling circles on the WWE for having an event somewhere that they couldn't take their female performers. Now they're doing their second show, and it's going to be 5 days after they do an all-women show. So do you think that this may be an instance where the mainstream media will pick up on that a little bit more heavily, and the WWE may regret doing these two shows so closely together? They may have, like you said, kind of a backfiring effect, not only on the Evolution show, but then the negative publicity they could get, you know, for the Saudi Arabia show just 5 days later.
I think it's coming at some point. I'm not sure if it's this show, because again, I can't imagine a scenario where they'd promote it a lot and talk about it a lot. I think they're going to try to keep it under wraps, like a typical overseas tour, you know, that's house shows. But, you know, that time's going to come again where they have to take that $40 million check for a big giant show that's basically, you know, designed to bring tourists to that you know, part of the world. And to me, when that happens, after you've done the Evolution event, after you've talked about Ronda Rousey and promoted her and, you know, being a role model for women, at that point, I can't imagine that there aren't a lot of articles that come out, some of them, you know, stinging articles, television segments, things like that. And I think it's fair that I think those are questions WWE has to answer. Because at the end of the day, you can say things like, well, it's a foot in the door and we're trying to change things over there. But the truth is, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with it to some extent, but admit, you know, what it is. You are a business and you're getting a gigantic check to go over there. And that's why you're doing it. And so to try to pull the wool over our eyes and say, oh, no, it's a great relationship and, you know, we're going to help that country evolve. Like, no, you're just taking a big check. And, you know, it's a lot easier for us to digest that if you'll just tell us that instead of trying to, you know, put on some charade that, you know, it's a true partnership, and you know, you're helping a country evolve. You know, you're helping your bank account evolve.
Since we're on the subject, and you know, I haven't talked to you for a little bit, does the Evolution, the Women's Evolution pay-per-view, is that an event that is going to interest you in watching, or is it something that, you know, just kind of in passing that, hey, it's happening, it's probably a good thing that it's happening, you know, good PR, you know, women get the spotlight, but not really something that you're going to be interested in actually watching?
So it is, because I think I'm at the point, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, where I need things that are different. I need to feel surprised. I need to see something I haven't seen before. I need to see a new approach to a match or storytelling or the way television's presented or whatever it may be. You know, a lot of times I follow Raw and SmackDown on Twitter, and I just kind of watch the updates. And if there's something I like, you know, I may turn it on, or I may go back and watch it on DVR. But, you know, with so much programming, you know, that they put on the air now between the network, between USA, you know, and NXT programming and everything else they have, you can't watch all of it. So to get me to sit down, and I think for a lot of wrestling fans, to get them to sit down anymore and you know, truly digest one of these long shows, some of them are now, are what, 5 and 6 hours. But for me to sit down and watch it, you know, I've got to see something different or feel like I'm going to get something different. And that's what Evolution will be. You know, the big question will be, how will they structure the show? How will they deliver throughout the night? I think they're going to have a crowd in that building that is going to be into everything they do. So that's going to help in the overall presentation. So I am interested to see how it goes. And I'm interested to see, you know, it's a nice one-time event, but where do you go from there? Does this become an annual thing? You know, is it just a one-time thing? There's been some talk, and I don't really buy it, that it could lead to a women's only show. You know, when you have 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown, you don't need to have any women's only shows. I mean, you need your best people, male or female, you know, on those main shows, because they have enough issues right now with those. But it does interest me because it's different. And I think a lot of fans will tune in for that very reason, just because it is something different.
Well, speaking of big events coming up, our third topic deals with the All In event that's coming up this weekend. I think you'd have to call it the biggest independent show ever, I would think. You know, you've got, if you look down the card, you've got a great card. You've got, you know, obviously, you know, guys like Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody. You've got guys from all different types of promotions, New Japan, Impact. You've got a really stacked card coming up. It's sold out, 10,000 fans, you know, sold out quickly. It's going to be on the Fight Network. They've done an awesome job promoting this thing, and it's definitely going to be a happening this weekend. My question, though, is that after this weekend, will it really matter? Once the event has gone down, it's passed by all the promotions over, the event happens, I'm sure it'll get rave reviews from, you know, the internet community. So, and then what? You know, do you think that this, right, you know, this whole All-In event will really matter in the grand scheme of things, or is it just something that, you know, is going to be a happening, it's going to be exciting, it's something new, and then it's just going to be business as usual from this point forward?
I think it does matter because it opens up the door for so many other people to be able to say, wow, we could do something like that. And you're seeing that with, you know, Ring of Honor and New Japan running Madison Square Garden before WrestleMania. You see it with like the Joey Janela shows that he does. He just did one before SummerSlam. He did one or has done the last couple WrestleManias. So you have the opportunity now, you know, these independent promotions, these independent shows, to draw big crowds that, you know, 10 years ago you just couldn't do. So to me, that's the true kind of legacy and impact of All In, is, you know, the first independent show since really the territory days to be able to draw a crowd of that size. So it really sets that new standard to be able to say, you know, other people can do the same thing. And you know, again, it's this issue where now these independent wrestlers can make a living on the independent circuit, you know, and All In's kind of the pinnacle of that, I would think, because I would I would imagine this would be, you know, the biggest payday that, you know, Cody and the Bucks have received in quite some time. And it's by their own doing and by their own hard work. And that's an amazing success story there. So I think that will probably be what matters, you know, in the long run about All In. Personally, I would not be surprised at all to see the Young Bucks go to WWE early next year. I think they recently said their contract's up in 3 to 4 months. I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I think Cody will probably stay independent for the time being. I think he's enjoying, you know, what he's doing right now. So could there be an All In too? Is that something Cody Rhodes would be willing to do by himself or with a different group? Maybe with, you know, Conrad Thompson, who's doing so much with StarCast right now. But I could see future All In events. You know, could they be long term where 20 years from now we're still talking about them? I doubt it. But, you know, time will tell. But, you know, short answer, I think it matters in regards to independent shows now being able to draw these large crowds.
Now, like we said, you know, this is really just, you know, one kind of super show, you know, that's been put together. But if we were to look at this, if this was one company, if somehow, you know, we came together and opened an independent, you know, company, and this was the roster that we see, you know, at All In, where you had your Kenny Omega, your Young Bucks, your Okada, you know, Jericho, you know, some of the Impact guys, Pentagon Jr., guys like that. If this was all one single entity, do you think that a company who had this kind of roster could position themselves as competition for the WWE? I know it's a hypothetical because these guys are all coming right from different promotions, but, you know, if this, you know, even if this became a 4 times a year type of deal, or if, you know, if something were worked out, you know, kind of like an ROH where they could get some of these New Japan guys that could come over and do some shots and do a couple of TV tapings and some build-ups to some, you know, 3 or 4 pay-per-views a year. If an independent company had this roster for All In, do you think that it could give the WWE real competition?
So the answer to that for me would have to be a definitive no. And that's just because there's so much money, there's so much production value, there's so much experience and really brand awareness behind WWE. I can't imagine anybody being able to offer them any real competition. Now, could they be a successful business that makes money, you know, and has a lot of employees that are well paid? You know, maybe. Certainly, but I don't think, you know, the challenge here is like, this is just an idea that, you know, Cody and the Bucks had of like, hey, we could do a show and it could be big. And, you know, there's so much work you have to do to run a business like that. And, you know, we've seen like with Impact and its many owners over the year, it's really difficult to run it well and be consistent over a period of time and make any real money. Which over time, you know, they've lost far more than they've made, I would think. So, you know, it's these smaller companies, I think, you know, that grow slowly, like ROH, like, you know, New Japan's always been a big company, but lately, obviously, it's had a boom and it's grown slowly along with that boom. But what you don't want is, you know, another ECW situation where a company gets buzzed, they get a lot of excitement behind them, then they grow too fast. They don't have the infrastructure to be able to handle that growth. They don't have the advertising support. And then before you know it, they go out of business, even though they were one of the most popular entities, you know, maybe in wrestling history. You still go to shows and hear ECW chants. So I think the answer to that is no. You'd have to, you know, really be able to show a track record of consistent, high quality programming. I'd be shocked if anybody can really give WWE true competition in America, you know, in Vince McMahon's lifetime anyway.
You mentioned in conjunction with All In, you got the StarCast event going on, Conrad Thompson, his involvement with that. I mean, man, you talk about a guy who's living the dream. Conrad Thompson is from, you know, mortgage broker to podcast host to now wrestling promoter, it seems like, you know, so, you know, definitely a guy that's, you know, made the, is living the dream, like I said, right now. How much credit do you give that event to the success, like I said, of this entire week, and not necessarily the All In, the wrestling show, but as I said, the fact that this is now, it's a happening, you know, it's a weekend long event. It's a place to be. How much credit do you give to, you know, either Conrad Thompson or just the StarCast idea in general? How much, you know, credit do you give to that to kind of making this a legit event to be at this weekend?
I think you have to give it a lot because it, you know, to your point, it's now an event. It's a weekend. It's a happening. It's not just I'm going to town to watch this show and it's going to be great, but think of how much money is being spent among those 10,000 wrestling fans who now many are going to StarCast. You know, I was just on Twitter before we got on the phone and people are listening to, you know, there's like a karaoke performance, you know, where wrestlers are singing karaoke and there's friggin' 250 people in the room who all paid, you know, however much money to listen to karaoke. So, you know, even in these silly events, they found a way to connect with these wrestling fans who clearly, you know, have the money to be at an event like this and to be able to entertain them in unique ways. And you mentioned earlier Fight, you know, they're also streaming this stuff on Fight, making it available to people all over the country. So it's not only a big happening from a wrestling perspective to those who are there, but it's turned into an entire event, you know, that anyone can be a part of on Fight, on social media. And, you know, it just goes back to kind of unique revenue streams where, you know, a performer, you know, you take Kenny Omega, for example, you know, he gets paid a certain amount to go to the All In show, and that's probably a nice payment. But now he may have two or three other revenue opportunities because of StarCast, too. So for the guys, for the fans, for the organizers of the event, I mean, it's a win-win all around. So to your point, yeah, it's become a really big happening. And a lot of that, I think, you know, the credit goes to StarCast, the credit goes to Conrad, and it goes to Cody and the Bucks for being open to it. And we haven't seen anything like this. You know, one, we hadn't seen anything like All In many years. We've never seen anything like what we're going to see this weekend in terms of a wrestling weekend outside of WrestleMania. So it's just a neat time, you know, to be able to sit back and watch this and see where it goes.
Do you think we get any type of surprises or anything this weekend? You mentioned, you know, the Young Bucks, that you think they may be heading to the WWE next year. We've seen them do a little bit of stuff with the video game tournament with the New Day. Do you think, would the WWE ever even entertain the thought of allowing someone like the New Day or, you know, someone from the company to appear at the event? Do you think that we maybe get an appearance by CM Punk? You know, do you think that there's any surprises or anything in store for this weekend that Cody and the guys maybe have up their sleeve that we haven't heard about?
Boy, that's a great question. And I've kind of gone back and forth on that because there's two schools of thought here. When you think about kind of like Cody Rhodes and what he stands for, I feel like he would want to put this show on with the guys he has, right? Like, we sold this out. It's our show. This is who we are. We don't need anyone from WWE. We don't need any big surprises. You paid for us, and we're going to give you the best show ever. In the same token, as a fan, you kind of want to be surprised, right? Who could show up? You know, is it possible that the WWE would play ball? I think we've seen the WWE be far more open to things like that. I'm not sure we would see it here, and I'm not sure that Cody Rhodes would want that to happen. But you've got to think, you know, that there's some talent out there, you know, because there's a lot of them who will be at StarCast, but, you know, other performers who may make some sort of a surprise appearance, because it would get great headlines, it would get great publicity, and you want a way, you know, to be able to kind of reward that crowd that you know, sold the show out in an hour or whatever it was, that 10,000 that will be in Chicago for that show. So I could see yes, I could see no. If I had to lean one direction, I would say, you know, we'll get some sort of a big surprise. But if we don't, I don't think fans should be disappointed either.
You know, too, you talked about, you know, Cody and kind of the idea of, well, we don't need the WWE guys. We sold this out on our own. But I almost feel like that if there were, you know, if the New Day did show up or the WWE did send someone to be on the show, it would almost legitimize the show even more because of the fact that the WWE is like, hey, we recognize this is a big deal and it's good for our company and our guys to get exposure on this show. So, you know, if you're willing or, you know, to have our guys on the show, yeah, we'll send, you know, the New Day or, you know, some guys over to have some type of interaction with the Young Bucks or whatever it may be. So do you think that, I guess, if you were put you in the promoter shoes, if the WWE approached you and said, hey, we'd like to be a part of this somehow, or hey, we'd be, you know, we'd like to send the New Day over to, you know, do some interactions with the Young Buck and Kenny Omega to kind of play off of their, you know, video game tournament they did this summer. Do you think that Cody would be wise to accept that invitation and let those guys appear on the show and not be so prideful to say, well, we don't need the WWE's help, you know, to put this show on? You know, do you think that it would legitimize that show and really make it, you know, even a bigger deal that the WWE wanted to have their guys appear on the show?
I think it would. You know, if I'm in those shoes, I listen to that conversation and I try to take ego out of the picture and think of what's best for the crowd who's paid money to be there. And I think, you know, you're alluding to it. You know, if New Day was to show up, the place is going to go nuts, right? I mean, that's going to be the biggest moment of the night. So if you have the opportunity to do that, I think you should take it. But you have to put yourself in Cody's shoes too and think, you know, the guy was there for so many years trying to be something that WWE didn't want him to be. You know, they wanted him to be Stardust. He wanted to, you know, be Cody Rhodes. He couldn't get that to happen. It got to the point that he had to quit. He had to go out there and make it on his own. This is his moment where he's made it on his own. You know, this show in this moment competing for the NWA Heavyweight Championship. So I could also see him say, nope, this is my night. No WWE. Sorry. And I think, you know, I think we can't, you know, as much as we want that surprise, if we put ourselves in his shoes, we have to be able to see it that way too. So that's where I say, like, if they opt not to go with a surprise of any sort, I get it. I get it because this is their night. And to be honest, they deserve the night. But boy, yeah, if you had a chance to have that surprise, it'd be difficult to say no, right?
Yeah, I think you definitely, you know, like you said, you couldn't fault him for not wanting a WWE presence there and to kind of, you know, bask in his moment of, you know, look what I did or look what we did, you know, him with the Bucks stuff, you know, and what they've accomplished. So I definitely don't think you could fault him. But yeah, I think it would be a heck of a moment. And I think it's funny, as you said, you know, if the New Day were to show up, you know, all these fans that are probably the same fans, a lot of these that go on and talk about how they hate the WWE and their New Japan fans or their ROH fans and, you know, the WWE sucks. If New Day were to show up, that place would explode if they were to come out and have, you know, have a confrontation with the Bucks. Yeah, you know, now I understand
they'd
now.
They'd have pancakes in their pants that they pulled out and unicorn horns in their back pockets. They'd be ready for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, they'd be all over. Now, you know, the WWE's got to be smart enough. I don't think you'd have that same reaction if maybe you sent over Roman Reigns or John Cena. But, you know, but they do have guys in the WWE that the quote-unquote independent fans, you know, gravitate towards and like. So I think that's also funny, you know, that you said that you bring that up, that, you know, a lot of these fans that are going to be there are going to be kind of, the fans at least are going to be anti-WWE guys. But if a WWE guy were to show up, you know, they would blow the roof off the building.
Oh, no doubt. And one thing you mentioned that I didn't address, CM Punk, I think, would be the ultimate get for this crowd in Chicago. You know, they haven't seen him at a wrestling event in years. If he was to pop up and be a surprise, I mean, people would go nuts. But there's nothing to make us think that will happen. We've heard him say no. We've heard Cody and the Bucks say that they tried and you know, there was no interest. So unless we're being worked, and I hope we are being worked, but unless we're being worked, that won't happen. But yeah, that's that big get that makes headlines that doesn't involve WWE.
Yeah, he's the one that I'm looking for. I think if there's going to be a surprise, I think it's got to be him. I think he almost gives you the best of both worlds. He's still got that WWE stigma to, you know, he's still a big enough star that people are going to recognize him as a WWE guy, but he's also, you know, he's been away.
Right.
He's seen as a rebel. He's seen as a guy that left there, you know, almost in protest, you know, so the fans are going to see him as one of theirs, that he's a, you know, an indie guy. He's a guy that you would relate to, like a Cody and a Young Bucks.
Right.
And you know, I saw the interview, you know, Cody, I think it was just last week, did an interview somewhere, and he said that they made a legitimate offer to him, that they, you know, it wasn't just talk of, hey, wouldn't this be cool, that they made him a legitimate money offer, and he turned them down. Now, like you said, maybe that's just trying to throw people off the scent, but I think it would be awesome, and I'm not even necessarily a big CM Punk fan, the person, but CM Punk, the personality and the wrestler, I think it would be awesome to see him show up, you know, in some capacity there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a huge CM Punk fan, but in that venue on that night in Chicago, his hometown, at an event like this, where they're basically saying, we don't need you, WWE, look at what we can do. I mean, that is CM Punk's personality. And so, yeah, if he was to pop up there, that crowd loses it. They lose their minds. So,
well, let's wrap up with our fourth topic. We're talking about independent events, and quite an interesting occurrence occurred at one independent this past week.
Oh boy, yeah.
Izzy, who most of you may know as the Bayley super fan, if you've seen her on NXT, she's the girl that wears the bows and the streamers on her arms. Sasha Banks ripped her bow out of her hair at the Takeover special when her and Bayley had the Iron Woman match. You know, she's all over social media. You know, if you would probably recognize her if you saw her, if you don't even recognize her name, but she is now an independent wrestling champion. She just actually won, I think it was the promotion's internet championship, but she actually participated in a wrestling match, won the match, won the championship, and also in the course of that match even took a choke slam from her opponent. Now, keep in mind, she's 12 years old, 12-year-old little girl in the ring taking bumps, not only taking bumps, but also winning a championship. I've seen a lot of stuff about this week. A lot of people up in arms about the fact that a child is in the ring taking bumps. A lot of people upset about the fact that it cheapens the business having a kid. You know, even though this is quote unquote make believe, and you know, we know it's not real, that still there, you know, there's an element of realism, you know, that goes along with wrestling. It's still, we're suspending our belief that we want to see guys and girls, you know, in combat with each other.
Right.
And now we've got a 12-year-old girl in the ring, not only wrestling, but also beating a grown man for a championship belt. When you saw this, you know, this week on social media, what was your first kind of reaction to the whole situation?
My first reaction was that I wanted to puke. I mean, it's just this. I mean, you know, I've lived, you know, many years with people saying, oh, you like wrestling? And yeah, yeah. Oh, well, that's stupid, isn't it? It's fake. It's this. It's that. You know, and you try to defend it to some extent, like, oh, no, it's a big business and they do great shows and they do a lot and they give back to charities. But then these people see a clip like this on the internet and you can't defend that, you know, because it's stupid. No 12-year-old child, let alone a girl, should be taking bumps in a wrestling ring, you know, on what's essentially, you know, a hard lumber with a little bit of padding on it, you know, where her neck and back of her head are exposed to injury. You know, no 12-year-old child should win a championship from a adult competitor. And then afterwards, she gets on the microphone and says, this is proof wrestling is for everyone. Like, that's not what that means. Wrestling is for everyone means that we should be accepting of all people, and wrestling is a wonderful thing that unites people and brings people together. It doesn't mean that a little tween who wears a bow should get to win a wrestling championship. I mean, and the fact that you log on and you see certain, you know, wrestlers defending it, most of them say, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This shouldn't be happening. But you have a few others who are like, oh, man, it's cool. It's, you know, she's safe. It's this. Like, no, hopefully these people aren't parents, you know, and as a parent of a child, like, no, that no 12-year-old should be in a wrestling ring. No 12-year-old should be getting beat up by an adult. And I saw Chelsea Green, independent worker, you know, faulting the promotion and faulting Izzy's parents. And you have to agree with that. And to some extent, you have to agree to anyone who's involved in that match, too. Like, what are you thinking? It's just not a good idea. So, didn't like it at all. Didn't like it at all.
Yeah, like you said, it's just, it's hard to defend if this is what someone, the casual person's exposure to the wrestling business is they see this clip online of, you know, a 12-year-old girl getting choke slammed and then, you know, winning a match. Like you said, you can't defend it. I felt the same way about Kenny Omega wrestling the blow up doll. It was,
right.
You know, that's not wrestling, but people that don't know, they don't know. That's what they see. And that's what's going to, and this clip will probably, you know, catch more social media attention than, you know, probably some of the SmackDown highlights, you know, from this week. You know, she'll get more views than Daniel Bryan might have this week. So, it's hard to defend. And, yeah, you know, like I said, I wasn't a fan of it either. And I'll even say this, you know, I went to WrestleCon this year and actually saw Izzy was there with her parents. You know, they seemed like nice people. You know, she was, you know, a lot of people recognized her as the Bayley super fan and all that. So, and it was great. But this to me seems like almost taking a little bit too far. You know, I don't want to you know, accuse her parents as, you know, glory hounds or trying to, you know, overexpose their child or use their child for any type of monetary gain or anything like that. But this seems like overkill. You know, it's one thing to be a super fan and have a following on Instagram or social media, but then to put her on a wrestling show and put her in a ring, you know, as you said, the message, I think, was that, you know, wrestling's for everybody. I think that was kind of lost. I don't think they accomplished what they maybe thought they were trying to accomplish with this whole stunt that they pulled.
Yeah, and don't think that, I mean, and granted, she's only 12, but, you know, if her goal is to be a wrestler in WWE one day, do you think WWE wants to do any business with this performer? I mean, that's horrible publicity down the road. Let's say they sign her when she's 19 years old and she goes to the PC and then she debuts on the main roster. I mean, don't think Entertainment Tonight's not going to do some story that this girl back in the day got beat up by this guy. You know, I mean, it's just, it's bad publicity and she was put in a bad situation. And yeah, I wouldn't think that her parents are doing it for monetary purposes or anything like that, because there's probably no money to be gained on it. But are you too much of a fan where you get lost in the moment and say, this is so exciting and so fun, where you aren't really thinking about the safety and health and well-being of your child? You know, I don't know them to be able to judge that, but just from an outsider looking in, everything I look at it about this situation, you know, from the promotion of the parents to the other wrestlers, it's like, what were you thinking? The answer is no, don't do it. Don't do it again.
Yeah. And as you said with WWE, you know, usually at the shows that she's attended, she's been featured on that show. You know, they made sure to put right. her on camera and make sure people knew that she was there in the crowd, and they would show when Bayley would have a match, you know, them hugging, and, you know, they featured her on camera. I wouldn't be surprised if the next time she's at a show, they're probably maybe not as accommodating, you know, getting her ringside tickets and featuring her on camera as the Bayley super fan after this. Like you said, I'm not sure WWE would really, you know, want to, you know, they may want to take a couple steps back away from this, you know, after this.
Yeah, it would be putting themselves in a bad position and opening them up for, you know, even if she's not on the WWE payroll, which she's not, as you mentioned, you know, there is kind of that affiliation, just like there is with, you know, Rick the Sign Guy who has the red hat, or, you know, some of these other fans that just become well known. You know, you don't want to do anything to loosely associate yourself with, you know, a 12-year-old who's getting beat up by guys, because to the outside world, that's what it looks like. And yes, it was part of a you know, stunt or a script or whatever, but she did get beat up by a guy, you know, in that chokeslam move. And so WWE is going to want nothing to do with that.
Last point I'll make on this, and then we'll wrap it up. I saw a couple weeks ago there was an article on ESPN, actually, it was on their front page, about intergender wrestling. And it talked about some of the negative connotations, again, especially in the world that we live in today, even though it is, you know, quote-unquote fake fighting, of a woman and a man wrestling, or a woman, a man striking a woman and, you know, and having a match with a woman. And so they did this whole article about intergender wrestling. Do you think that people will have as strong of an opinion about this as they would intergender wrestling? Do you think that there's a comparison to be made between intergender wrestling and if we're putting kids in the ring to get, you know, quote unquote, beat up by adult wrestlers? Or does the kid aspect make it a little bit so far-fetched that it's like, well, obviously we can't take this seriously. You know, it's a child, you know, we're not going to maybe have the moral uproar about this that we might about intergender male versus female wrestling.
Yeah, and this may not be a super popular opinion, but I think intergender wrestling, I could see it one day come back in some respect to WWE. I mean, if you're going to have a women's evolution and have people like Ronda Rousey and some of the other, you know, larger female competitors who, quite frankly, look like they're tougher than some of these smaller guys. I mean, I could see us at a point evolve to where that's once again acceptable in some way. The whole child aspect is just a freak show that's on a whole different island by itself. You know, to me, that does no good for the business in any way. You know, some of the intergender stuff is silly. Some of it you look at and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But, you know, and I'm not saying back in the day that China should have beat Jeff Jarrett for the Intercontinental Championship, which she did. But at least you could look at that and go, she's big, she's strong, she works the part. It at least makes sense. You know, a 12-year-old beating a grown male, sorry, not going to happen.
Yeah, I think even today, you know, with the climate we have now, you know, if Ronda Rousey got in there with a male, I think people could buy that she could get a guy in an armbar and make them tap out.
Well, put her in there with Ellsworth. I mean, you know what I mean? Or somebody like that. And you can buy that feud. You know, you have one side who says, well, he's a guy, he can do this and he can do that. You have the other side who says, she's the most dangerous female in the world. You know, I'm not saying that Ronda Rousey should wrestle Roman Reigns. That's a horrible idea, you know, for everybody involved. But there's a way to do it where...
Because Roman would get booed out of the building.
Well, there you go. And then, you know, well, I was going to say Roman would have to tap out, but Vince wouldn't let that happen. You know, they'd go to a big double. They'd go to a double DQ, or Stephanie McMahon would come out or something. But, you know, I mean, there's ways to do it where it makes sense. And to be honest, if you're going to say that men are equal to, or women are equal to men, which is what WWE is doing in some ways, you have to be open to that competition to some level. Again, not saying Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss need to have a match, but there may be things that you can do where they can be physical with each other, where 5-10 years ago that was outlawed because, you know, it doesn't make sense and those sorts of things. As the women have greater roles, they're strong, they're powerful. You know, I could see some of that creep back in.
Yeah, one of the biggest pops of the night at WrestleMania this year was when Ronda Rousey got Triple H up on her shoulders and looked like that she was going to give him, you know, a Samoan drop or some type of slam. So, you know, I think there's areas where even today's audiences can suspend their belief a little bit, can get into it and will buy it. And like I said, and it's not going to cause, you know, some type of, you know, like I said, social media backlash for what's happening. You know, letting a guy punch a woman in the face, okay, I could see where that's probably off limits. But, you know, something like that, you know, an amateur match, like I said, a Ronda Rousey who's, you know, gets in there and out wrestles somebody, you know, just to the mat or gets him in an armbar. You know, I agree with you. I think that's something that could make a comeback and is something that could get over with audiences and get them off their feet. And like you've mentioned kind of all night tonight, it's something different. It's something that we don't see a lot, and it's something that could get people interested in what's going on because it's something different and something that they could, you know, they could buy.
Yeah, and just to add to your point of that WrestleMania match, there was a moment where Ronda Rousey had Triple H in an armbar, some sort of submission, and I was in the crowd that night. And I was sitting there going, my God, he's about to tap out. He's going to put Ronda Rousey over. And in that moment, just the way that they structured the match and set up that moment, I suspended disbelief. You know, they did an exceptional job. And I sat there and said, oh, my gosh, they're going to do this. Of course, they didn't. But to your point, you know, there are those moments where they can make things happen utilizing the stars they have and make us believe. And, you know, Ronda Rousey certainly has that ability.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was there that night as well. And I thought that was match of the night. I'm not even a huge fan of women's wrestling. Obviously, Rousey, I think, is on a little bit different level than necessarily your typical women wrestler. But even I was surprised at how much I got into the match myself. And I agree with you. I thought it was match of the night. And if you set it up, there's a way to do it that I think even the most jaded wrestling fan, you know, wouldn't be able to deny, you know, getting into it and getting emotionally invested in what's going on.
No doubt. No doubt.
Well, Austin, before I let you go, tell me about, you know, you're a contributor for Pro Wrestling Sheet, but you guys have got some big things going on. You just entered into a new partnership in the past couple of months. So tell me about what Pro Wrestling Sheet's got going on here lately over at their website.
Right. So Collider, which is an entertainment news, more of kind of a movie news website, acquired Pro Wrestling Sheet. And, you know, that's a great thing in that Collider's a big company, a big brand that wanted to grow. They saw the value of wrestling. And so they brought Pro Wrestling Sheet on board. And so what that's what we've been able to do is expand our podcast offerings. Some of those podcasts are now on video. You know, there's kind of some studio and taping options with Collider because they're set up for that. They do a lot of video for social media and digital. So it's created a lot of new opportunities. You know, I know there's some exciting plans for some interviews coming up with different stars. I know because so many wrestling stars are in movies now. You know, Collider recently had the chance to talk to Ronda Rousey and because of the new deal with Pro Wrestling Sheet, talked a little wrestling in that too. So, you know, there's been some good opportunities with that to make some news and break some news. And then, you know, Ryan Sadden has great sources. The other day he was able to be the first to report that Neville's WWE deal, you know, had expired and Neville was now essentially a free agent. So I think that, you know, his sources and some of the news gathering there combined with what Collider can do from a video, audio, and just overall presentation standpoint, you know, Pro Wrestling Sheet is in a great spot for growth. And so folks who don't follow it should, at Wrestling Sheet on Twitter, Pro Wrestling Sheet on Facebook, you know, it's worth a follow.
Absolutely. And where can our listeners find you personally on social media? Let them know where they can follow you on Twitter. I know you've got two different accounts. I think one is specifically focused on wrestling. So
yeah. So my No Fun account is at Austin Kellerman, and that's where I talk about Arkansas news and information and that sort of stuff. So I created a wrestling only account that is AK on wrestling. So that's at AK on wrestling. So that's where I'm talking about, you know, things that I see in different shows, perspective on different news, news stories that come down, you know, and then just sharing those fun clips that we all like to share on wrestling Twitter. So at AK on wrestling.
All right. So make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. Make sure you guys are checking out Pro Wrestling Sheet and some of the exciting things that they're doing in conjunction with Collider. Austin, I appreciate you coming back on to Kentucky Wrestle Report and being with me. I hope to have you on again sometime.
You bet. Let's do it again. Sounds good.
All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Kentucky Wrestle Report. I again want to thank Austin Kellerman for coming on with me this week. Make sure you guys are following him at Twitter and on Pro Wrestling Sheet. Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter at KYWrestleReport and also at Corey Guns. You can also check me out on my weekly articles that I contribute for thechairshot.com. And you can find us right here at the Kentucky Wrestle Report every weekend on the Chairshot Radio Network. Enjoy your all-in weekend. Get out and support Kentucky Independent Wrestling. And we'll see you next week right here on the Kentucky Wrestle Report.
symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.